Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
All right, welcome. Glad you guys are with us. We're going to be joined by Dr. Andy Woods here in just a momento. I mentioned this on TV last night, but I want to mention this to you guys here. I have a huge stack in front of me, guys, of Christmas letters and Christmas cards. And I just want to thank you guys for all the wonderful, kind notes. I think I've told you guys for years, I save these notes. I save these cards. I have a box. Actually, I've got a couple boxes full of them. I've been saving this kind of stuff for years and years. Maybe one day when I'm sitting in front of the rocking chair in front of the fire, I can sit and read these and remember all the great Americans and Christians that were supportive and kind. And but it is. It means more than you guys know to get handwritten notes, particularly in this day and age where people do everything but email and text, but to get written notes in the mail. And this is just a small portion of what's come in just the last couple of weeks, few weeks. But I do. I go through them and I save them. And I see a lot of names I recognize. Some of you have been following us a long time, and I see names that I recognize. I saw one in here from Bernie and Mary. I think if it's the Bernie and Mary that I'm thinking of, I know exactly who that is. They're from Wisconsin. They come to our Ozarks conference every year. But a lot of beautiful cards. I'm never disappointed in the beauty of some of these Christmas cards that people send us. I'm never disappointed. They just, some of them are so pretty. You're like, that should be framed. It's so pretty to be framed and put on in a nice decorative frame and put on the wall. Some of these cards are just gorgeous. So I want to thank all of you for all of these wonderful cards. Like I said, means more than you guys know, particularly when people take the time to actually write something and send a handwritten card. And here's one that I had to do a double take. I thought that was Delta when she was younger. So I know it's not you now, Delta. She's over on her bed because your face is totally gray. So I know that's not you now, but it looked like a picture of Delta when she was younger. So I love the Christmas cards that also include the pets. Now, when I was going through the stack of mail that our folks process and open for me and put on my desk, and that's not uncommon. I go in my desk, go into my office, and there's a big stack of letters on my desk and cards. And in the mail, they sort the mail for me for what they need to do and what I need to look at or what they think I want to look at. And in there, and we're going to go to Dr. Woods in just a second, but in there was this letter here. Now, it's dated, I won't give the last name, but it's dated to a Mrs. John, and then her husband's last name, her married name, of Sullivan, Wisconsin. And the postmark on it is Washington, D.C., 1954. Washington, D.C., 1954. The return address is the United States Senate Committee on Foreign Relations. And it is a letter. And it's signed by an Alexander Wiley. I looked him up. I'm sure some of you folks in Wisconsin automatically know who I'm talking about, but I had to look him up. he was a U.S. senator. He was born in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. And he was the Republican candidate for governor of Wisconsin in 1936, but his bid failed. Let's see what else we'd learn about him here. Wiley was elected to the U.S. Senate, first defeating tax court judge Stephen J. McMahon to win Republican nomination, and then defeating Democrat incumbent F. Ryan Duffy to win the seat. In 1944, Wiley was challenged by United States Marine Corps Captain Joseph R. McCarthy. I think we all know who that is, right? Joe McCarthy. In the Republican primary. He defeated McCarthy and won the general election. Wiley, then an isolationist in foreign policy, and Governor Walter S. Goodland supported Republican presidential nominee Thomas E. Dewey. in the 1944 race over incumbent Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And Dewey won Wisconsin electoral votes but fell short nationally. Wiley was reelected two more times in 1950 and 56. And it goes on to talk about he was challenged by U.S. Representative Glenn Robert Davis in 56, but again prevailed. Wiley voted in favor of the Civil Rights Acts of 57 and 60, and goes on to talk about them. He lost his bid for a fifth term to Governor Gaylord Nelson, a liberal Democrat. Wiley was the last Republican to serve as a U.S. Senator from Wisconsin until former 9th District Congressman Bob Caston took office in 1981. And it says he had a distinguished Senate career that included the chairmanship of both the Foreign Relations and Judiciary Committees. Now, the reason I mention all that, look that up, is because one of you in the audience, and I don't know if it's Mrs. John, and like I said, I'll leave off her last name. I don't know if she's still with us, or if this, I don't know if there was a note with this that got separated. I'll have to go through this stack more carefully or ask my wife. But I don't know if there was a letter that explained all this. So I don't know if she's still with us or not. But this is addressed to her, and it is postmarked. I mean, they included the envelope, 1954. Dear friend, I'm grateful to you and to many other Wisconsinites who expressed their deep interest by writing to me with regard to the pending censure motion. I had hoped to be able to write to you and to every single one of the other public spirited citizens who have taken time out to express their views on this matter. However, the volume of the mail has been so considerable as to have made it physically impossible for me to have replied by means of individual letter. The importance of weighing the issues and facts and representing the Senate floor likewise prevented an immediate reply. So it is a letter that seemed to have gone out to everybody that he pre-wrote, and then they sent out to everybody because he was getting a lot of responses on this issue. And he talks about the rules of fairness, etc., but he's talking about communism as well. He says here, as to the matter of communism, which has become attached to the censure issue, may I state, as it appears in the congressional record, which is enclosed herein, that I am now, always have been, always will be, unadulterably committed to combating with every means of my command the evil conspiracy of domestic and international communism. And what is included is a copy of the congressional record dated November 17th, 1954. Communist Doctrine of World Revolution. Mr. Riley, this is him speaking on the floor, the Senate. Mr. President, speaking to the President of the Senate, for the past 8 years, a major portion of our legislative endeavors have been focused upon meeting the single, all-embracing challenge of world communism and world revolution. In these august chambers and throughout the breadth and width of our free world, we have heard debates concerning the true nature and extent of the communist global menace. We have heard arguments concerning the meaning of Leninism and Stalinism, Marxism, arguments concerning the meaning of such fundamental terms as, quote, peace, coexistence, imperialism, Marxism, socialism, and finally, world revolution. The actual meaning of these fundamental concepts as employed by the West and as employed by the forces of world communism are as different as the respective philosophies of a totalitarian and of a free society. Based on our understanding of these principles of world communism and world revolution, we have endeavored to formulate our policies. The preservation of our American heritage is no less than the very survival of our entire free world, as it depends upon the correctness of our understanding. We cannot afford to err in our analysis of world communism and world revolution. Therefore, in my capacity as chairman to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, I have been preparing, in cooperation with numerous experts to whom I shall refer, a detailed outline based upon official communist sources of the communist doctrine of world revolution. This outline presents, in a consistent and coherent step-by-step form, the total principles of revolution as revealed most starkly in the policy statements of communist leaders. In these quotations, they repeat their fundamental principles of revolution without actual variation from the inception of communism to the present time. This study has been made in consultation with Russian, Slavic, and Chinese experts in the Library of Congress, in consultation with various policy and research organizations in our executive branch, and in consultation with leading professional scholars in the field of world communist studies. It is a definitive study with attempts to outline the total doctrine of world revolution through an overall analysis of communist policy statements from Marx to the present. It is my sincere hope and intent that this study will prove of service to those of us who bear the pressing legislative responsibility for countering the continuous global communist menace. I hope it will aid our American citizens and the other people of the free world to a clearer understanding of the most destructive totalitarian doctrine known to man. I therefore ask unanimous consent that this study, which I am completing, be printed as a Senate document. Interesting. 1954. What would these guys say if they were alive today? He died in 19... Senator Wiley died in 1967 at the age of 83. And again, it comes with the postmark from Washington, D.C., 1954. I don't know about you, but see, I like this kind of thing. It's history. I mean, this is a piece of history. It's a letter that's been around for, you know, I was born in 69, so it was around for about, 16 years before I was born? 14 years before I was born? I've been doing my math top of my head, so 54 to 69. What is that, guys? Is that 14 years? 16 years. 16 years. About. They're about, right? Maybe 15 years? So, I think that's very interesting. But again, it shows the fact that so many people have warned us about the global goals of the communists, the revolution, and they were fighting it then. And I wonder how many of them would, what they would say about the fact that now we have communists that have penetrated, that's 15 years, I just did the math on it. So 15 years before I was born, the communists have penetrated Christian broadcasting. They've penetrated Christian seminaries and colleges, so-called. I was looking at a group of so-called Christian broadcasters today. I'm being asked to take a look at some broadcasters on some a particular broadcast platform and give my opinion as to who should stay and who should go. And I looked at some of the Christian broadcasters on there, and I said, well, this guy started out well, but he's known for interviewing people pushing social justice all the time. He's known for pushing the emergent church guys. He's known for pushing these guys that are committed to dominionism, pushing guys that are definitely helping and aiding the infiltration of the philosophies and ideas of the Marxist hiding under Christian names. And as I went through the list of people that I was being asked to look at and give my opinion on whether they should stay or go, I was just once again impressed as to how the communists have been so successful. And then, today, this morning, I lay my eyes on this letter from 1954, postdated, where a U.S. senator of Wisconsin is warning about the global revolution of communism. Well, what would he say today? Because it went well beyond what we thought, and it made it into the mainstream of so-called Christianity, didn't it? All right, we'll be right back with Dr. Andy Woods on the Mark of the Beast economy being set up. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. All right, we're going to be joined now by Dr. Andy Woods. On Fridays, we like to look at world events through the lens of Bible prophecy and the Middle East. And so he joins us today. He's a pastor. He's an attorney. He is a seminary president. He joins us today. Dr. Woods, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Brandon, good to be here. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, my friend. By the way, what'd you make? 19 of this letter postdated 1954 in the original envelope, and that's interesting.
Well, I mean, to me, it just shows me that communism is demonic. Angels, you know, Luke 20 verses 35 and 36 says, "Don't die," and we know that there are fallen angels, and these demons have been pushing this communist agenda transgenerationally. So that's why the same issues keep resurfacing. And to me, that's evidence of you're reading that letter. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Let's take a look at the list of things we want to talk about today. Here they are, guys. Prophecy update, nations against Israel. We're always, you know, some of the bullet points may be the same from week to week, but the information that we share is new under these bullet points. Yeah. Nations against Israel, globalism, Babylon, mark of the beast technology, or mark of the beast economy, actually. Let's deal with nations against Israel. Dr. Woods, what's the latest we have on that?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things going on. Here's an article on how the IDF has found that Chinese weapons were actually used in Gaza. You know, we believe China is going to play a role in the end times, Revelation 9, Revelation 16. You know, these weapons that were used October the 7th, beginning October the 7th, we've typically blamed that on Iran and Turkey. Well, lo and behold, China, you know, has a hand in it. Beyond that, you've got Turkey sounding off again. Erdogan, the leader of Turkey, has said that what Netanyahu is doing now in terms of rooting out terrorism in Gaza is worse than Hitler. And he's actually running concentration camps in Gaza. So more hatred coming from Turkey against Israel. Not surprising, because Ezekiel 38 and 39 anticipates Turkey as one of the invaders of the end times. And then you have other nations. This is the third article that I have here. Other nations that formerly were allies of Israel, like Canada and Australia. Canada is now on the precipice of turning its back on Israel because of what Netanyahu is doing in reaction to what happened with Gaza. So it's just point after point. You see these nations turning against Israel. That's exactly what the prophet Zechariah said would happen in the end times. The whole world would turn against Israel. And I think we're seeing the stage set for that now.
Yeah, absolutely. We interviewed Itamar Marcus yesterday out of Israel, as we interview also our broadcast partner, Aaron, out of Israel. And he just testified before a committee, European Union committee and commission, as well as before the United Nations, trying to help them understand. What was interesting, Dr. Woods, is he was saying that some of the folks that he was talking to in the European Union had never heard the other side, but they were like, wow. And I was explaining to him, that's why it's so important that we engage people, not just write them off. Because I was saying yesterday, sometimes I get these emails and see them, and my response is, you know, pound sand, I don't have time for this. But I've engaged a few of these people, and what I have found over the course of actually engaging them over several months is some of them have started to say, I didn't know that. I'm not to your full position yet, but I am starting to understand what it is you believe as a Christian Zionist. I'm starting to understand what it is you're saying about the Jewish people. It shows us with Itamar's testimony that, hey, some of these folks in the EU had never heard the truth about Palestine, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, as they call it. That's why it's so important we do what we do and talk about these issues, because this is unknown to many people. We're picked up by so many new platforms now, And we get so many letters, as I was showing that stack of letters at the beginning of the program. And we get those every month, stacks. And the people often say, I wish I had found your organization, your broadcast, your ministry years ago. I wish I had found this years ago because I've never been taught this. I've never heard this taught before. I was teaching what the Bible, you know, in my series, Twisted Scripture, Twisted Theology, a series I'm going through in our Sunday night church service online at 8 p.m. Sunday nights, 8 p.m. Central Time at worldviewtube.com. And I got an email from someone that I read that said, I've never seen someone take the Bible and explain from the Bible certain things, such as why the Bible does not teach us that we have to be baptized to be saved. Not that it's not an important ordinance or important command and symbolism, but the way you took the scriptures and showed from the scriptures logically and scripturally that salvation isn't dependent on baptism. And then the other things you were describing as you were going, I've never seen anyone do that. Well, of course there are people that do that. You do that, Dr. Woods. There are many other pastors that are listening here. They do that with their congregations. They're real shepherds. They really do that. But I am impressed again about how many people we are reaching that God's allowing us to reach that have never, ever been exposed to someone taking the Bible and using it the way we do accurately to talk about salvation, theology, doctrine, end time events, the Middle East, Israel. This is just not done anymore largely in churches in America. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree. We've shrunk the Bible's influence to just quote spiritual matters, not understanding that the Bible, as you say over and over again, brings a worldview. It comments on every area of life, you know, economics, emotions, so-called psychology, which is really psychology is the study of the soul. That's what that word means.
Which is ironic because the secular humanists, as was the case with like Sigmund Freud and so many of them, deny the spirit world, but they wanted to study the soul, the psyche, which they ended up declaring was simply the mind. But it really means soul, yet they denied the soul, the spiritual world.
Yeah, it comes from the word psuche, soul, which is the Greek word for soul. Ology, coming from logos, meaning read. Ology, the study of. But my point is, the Bible is not just a book about how to get to heaven, as important as that issue is. I mean, it will talk to you about economics, finances, you know, debt, self-defense, you know, countless subjects. And so when the Bible comments on those things, it's just as inspired as when it talks about heaven or hell issues. And for whatever reason, we've taken the Bible and sort of shrunk its influence just to certain spiritual matters. So we kind of in the church today have a canon within the canon. You know, you hear the same texts expounded on every single week, when the reality is God wants the whole word expounded. And when you do that, you'll find yourself as a preacher commenting on every area of life, you know, even on political things. You don't have to bring up partisan Republican, Democrat, or, you know, Trump, Hillary. You don't even have to bring those names up. Just show people what the Bible says about political things. And when they go to the voting booth, you know, they'll know what to do, because the Bible has instructed them. And I guess we're just not letting the Bible speak the way it wants to. And so that's why I'm a big advocate of verse by verse teaching. You know, my sermons are already planned for me. It's what's in the next passage. And if it happens to deal with something politically incorrect, like abortion or divorce and remarriage or homosexuality, then my people understand that we're here to let the Bible say what it wants to say. You know, we're not here to correct the Bible. The Bible's here to correct us.
Yeah, indeed. Here's another article, Dr. Woods. This is from the Jerusalem Post. Trudeau, Prime Minister of Canada, IDF, Israeli Defense Force, actions in Gaza threaten support for Israel. Canadian Prime Minister supports a two-state solution and rules out Hamas participation in negotiations on bringing about a Palestinian state. Well, I'm sorry. If you are bringing about a Palestinian state, you are negotiating with Hamas, either directly, indirectly. I don't know who you think you're negotiating with, but if you're pushing for a Palestinian state, you are working with Hamas. But what, I mean, what would you expect from the son of Castro? And many say that that's exactly who Trudeau is. His mother had an affair with Castro, and he is the illegitimate child, if you will, of Castro.
Yeah, if you look at two pictures of Castro and Trudeau right next to each other, I'm not going too far into conspiracy theories, but to me they look a lot alike.
Well, it's known that his mother was friends with him.
Between the two, yeah.
And we have pictures of what is supposed to be Trudeau in Castro's arms, you know, as a kid, yeah. As an infant.
Yeah, and the Canadians are just suffering under this man. We actually had some Canadians come and visit our church last Sunday, and they gave me an earful about the transition from Harper, which was one of their former prime ministers, to Trudeau. Harper was a pretty good guy, a Christian, as I understand it. Trudeau is moved into, I don't know what to call it, other than full-blown Marxism. He was a disciple of Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum and Schwab's leadership school and all those kinds of things. And now an edict, it's one of the last articles in the stack of stuff I sent you, but an edict has come down in Canada that all gas-powered cars will be phased out, end of discussion, will be phased out by 2035. And so remember how they took down the Canadian truckers?
Yes.
Through banking? Just think what the government could do with those Canadian truckers if everybody's in an electric powered car, and somebody in a smoky back room somewhere has the power to flick a switch and shut your engine off. This is the kind of totalitarianism that's now enveloped Canada.
Mm. Let's move into globalism. So the world against Israel. Now let's move into globalism. Here we've mentioned this here on our broadcast, and we played the audio the other day. But I want to mention with you, CBS News reporter makes dark prediction of Black Swan event in 2024. So, again, I can play it for those who want. Maybe just do it. Here we go. Let me play this.
Well, mine's a little dark. I just feel a lot of concern that 2024 may be the year of a Black Swan event. This is a national security event with high impact that's very hard to predict. There are a number of concerns that I have that factor into that. Not only this sort of enduring heightened threat level that we're facing, the wars in Israel, also Ukraine. And we're so divided in this country in ways that we haven't seen before. And I think that just creates fertile ground for our adversaries like North Korea, China, and Iran. And that's what concerns me most.
Go ahead, comment on this, please.
Well, what's interesting about that is it's not coming from some kind of right-wing source. I mean, this is not Alex Jones or somebody like that talking. This is Face the Nation. You know, this is Catherine Herridge talking. So this is like what we would call a mainstream media platform. And she sounds like us. She's warning of what we've been talking about for a long time, this management by crisis philosophy, create a crisis which enables the heavy hand of global government to clamp down.
Yeah, that's indeed the concern. All right, we'll come back with more with Dr. Andy Woods. The website of his ministry is andywoodsministries.org, andywoodsministries.org. Ours, worldviewtube.com, worldviewtube.com. A lot of new segments up there from last night and yesterday, worldviewtube.com. We'll be right back after this break.
Extract Gevity is an all-natural energy and health drink developed by Brannon House several years ago with a team of experts. Extract Gevity supports a healthy heart, strong immunity, skin, hair, and nails, cognitive health, and cellular health. This all-natural energy drink is loaded with antioxidants. But don't take our word for it. Do your own research to find the benefits of red wine extract, bilberry extract, grapeseed extract, pine bark extract, and vitamin C. Brannon credits Extract Gevity in part for his abundance of energy and good health. Order your 30-day supply now at mystore.com. Be sure to use the promo code on the screen for a generous discount. Extractivity, your all-natural source for energy and good health. Find it at mystore.com.
All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, website worldviewradio.com. My guest, Dr. Andy Woods, andywoodsministries.org, andywoodsministries.org. We're going through our Middle East update, Bible prophecy update, war, the world against Israel, which the Bible predicted. We're seeing that happen. We gave news articles to show it. Then we talked about the globalism, the goal of globalism. And I think the global elite are now allowing the media and their mouthpieces to talk about what could be coming. Dr. Woods, there was this movie, as we've talked about, put out by the production company of Barack and Michelle Obama. And it's, you know, predicting a cyber attack, power grid goes down, America's attacked by, it sounds like, North Korea, maybe an Islamic nation, Iran. If you read, you know, if you watch the film, it tells you that it was, you know, pamphlets dropped in Arabic, another one dropped in what looked to be Mandarin or Korean. So you can kind of put it, the pieces together. But the America is being attacked by nations that are against us. Power grids being hacked. Power goes down. You know, we don't know how. But cyber attack is what it is, seems to be implied. And now we have the media, right on cue, a month later or so from the release of that, talking like this. Whereas before, if you talk like this, people thought you're a little crazy, a little over the top, extreme, whatever, prepper, crazy prepper person. Now it's the mouthpieces of the globalists seem to be warning us. I think some of these people are the mouthpieces of the globalists. There's so much in that film. We saw that the opening film, the opening scene is of a bedroom with a nightstand on either side of the bed and a mug that has six. It's 76, but you don't see the seven because it's in such light color, but you definitely see the six standing out. And then a clock that's at 6:30. And then on the other side of the nightstand, you have a digital clock with something in front of it blocking the last two numbers, but you see, instead of, you don't see the 30 of 6:30, but you see the six. So when you put it together, you got 666. Now that's not done by mistake. They're sending signals in here. They're mocking us. They're mocking, I think, Christians. I think this is complete mockery in part, but also I think it's symbolism for whatever purpose people can debate. But upon further study of that, there seems to be also some emergency alerts that were put out in that film that show that this event occurred around September 17, September 18, something like that. I'll have to go back and look at the screenshots. But now we've seen screenshots, or they're even kind of saying a date. Now, I'm not saying that something's coming in September of 2024, but I find that odd, being I don't think they want us all to go to the polls come November. So I would not be shocked if something happens with the power grid between now and then, or that everything is fine for the most part. But when we get into the fall, look out. And I don't know if that's predictive programming or not. What are your thoughts?
Well, you throw that together with Zuckerberg and these global elites building these
bunkers,
massive underground bunkers to the tune of multi-millions of dollars with an escape hatch. And they did everything they could to prevent the workers from communicating with each other. So each worker on a different part of it didn't know what the other one was doing. So that's all an attempt to keep the whole thing secret. Fortunately, a lot of that has been exposed. And it's not just Zuckerberg, as you reported, but others are building these things. And you have to ask yourself at the end of the day, why would they do that? I mean, what do they know that we don't know? And I think it was Bill Gates in one of those TED Talks indicated that something worse than COVID, you know, is coming and is on the horizon. So we have to understand that George Soros said that people, when they're in a state of fear, will give up. They'll do things they wouldn't normally do, such as give up freedom. And government, by nature, loves a crisis. Rahm Emanuel, of course, don't let a good crisis go to waste, because that's an opportunity for government to grow. And if your agenda is to bring in communism, as you talked about earlier with those cards that you're reading and things, clippings going back to the 1930s, Or if your agenda is to bring in global governance, which the Bible clearly says will envelop the earth before Jesus comes back, there has to be some kind of global crisis of some sort to dismantle our constitution, which stands for limited government, and bring in, you know, maximum government. You know, Hitler, with what's called the Reichstag fire, you know, deliberately set a fire and blamed it on his political enemies, and then came in as the hero, you know, to prevent future crises. So that's an example of, you go to the front door of the house, and, well, first of all, the back door, you start a fire, then you come in through the front door and you sell them a fire extinguisher. Then you're the hero when you're the one that caused the problem to begin with. Let's remember that government naturally does these kinds of things. Paul the Apostle in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11 says we're not ignorant of Satan's schemes. And there is a scheme, management by crisis, that global totalitarians use over and over again. So why is it so far-fetched to believe a black swan event is coming in 2024?
Exactly. All right, let's go continue. Globalism. Illegal alien invasion maps exposed. This is coming from our friend Anthony Rubin over at Muckraker, who I've interviewed many times. And he is laying out all of these maps, and we've shown them with Michael Yon, Anthony Rubin, Todd Bensman. You got the United Nations, the European Union, NGOs, all helping make sure these illegal aliens know exactly how to get here. You want to comment on this article?
And it's not just maps. It's the fact that they're coming from NGOs, non-governmental organizations connected to the UN. For example, map number 3 was distributed by the United Nations International Organization of Migration, known as the IOM. And so all of these tensions that we're having now with the border, and by the way, most people look at our border policy and they know it doesn't make any sense. If you have to book a domestic flight in the United States, you have to pass through all kinds of metal detectors and everything else to get on the plane. And yet our southern border is wide open. That's illogical. You know, why is this happening? Well, it has to do with the idea that our political leaders are not taking their cues concerning border enforcement from the American people. They're taking their cues from some kind of transnational, you know, intergovernmental source. And these maps coming from the United Nations and NGOs prove that. They're basically maps telling illegals how to get here, what route to use. By the way, if you get drowsy, don't get on the bus over here, take this other route over there. I mean, it's just meticulous detail in these maps. And so the open border policy that we have now is being internationally orchestrated, I believe, to push America down, because if you don't have a border, you don't have a country, and to sort of absorb us into some kind of region. You know, maybe the United States, Canada, and Mexico is a region. And eventually that region will be superseded, you know, by transnational government. So all of these things are biblically significant, and they're prophetically significant as well.
Indeed they are. All right, let's move quickly now to the next category, which is Babylon. Let me bring up an article here. Babylon, I think this comes from The Cradle. Here we go. China, Iraq begin construction of new city near Baghdad. This is a December 29th, 2023 article. You and I are one of the few people, Dr. Woods, that are holding to the Bible. we're so risky, aren't we? You and I believe when the Bible says Babylon, it means Babylon. Rome, it means Rome. Jerusalem, it means Jerusalem. Israel means Israel. The church means church. And so you and I, in our risky behavior here, are just trusting the Bible to be true. I'm being very sarcastic here, because I don't think it's very risky for us to trust the Bible at all. But you and I are one of the few people that say, just wait, be patient, it'll all work out. I'm going to stick with the Bible. When the Bible says that there is some kind of world government out of Babylon, literal Babylon, 58 miles south of Baghdad, I'm going to take that to the bank. And you and I are one of the few people to do it. They go, oh, no, Babylon the Great, that's New York, you know, or that's America, whatever. you and I are trusting that it is literally Babylon. And we just keep watching for these articles. Comment on that before you get to the article.
Well, let me do it this way. You know, pre-1948, from AD 70, when Israel was kicked out of their land until they came back around 1948, everybody thought that the prophecies dealing with Israel and Jerusalem were obviously allegorical. That's obviously speaking of the church. And there's a small cadre of people during that time period that said, no, I think Israel has to become a nation again. Well, you just said it. You give history enough time to unfold and the literal interpreter is vindicated. Look at Israel today. Look at her wealth. Look at her army. Look at her power. Look at her existence. Look at her survival. So everybody now says, well, I guess the literalist was right. What we're suggesting is the same thing is about to happen to Babylon. The word Babylon is used 300 times in the Bible. It's a technical term. It always means a specific city in between the Euphrates and the Tigris. It's the same city where the Tower of Babel once stood. It's the same city that the children of Israel were taken into captivity into. And Bible prophecy indicates that it would have a resurgence. It would become the seat of global authority in the last days. And you have a choice. You can either allegorize it and pretend Babylon means Rome, which is really another form of replacement theology when you think about it. Instead of saying, you know, Israel is the church, now we're saying Babylon equals New York or Babylon equals Rome. It's exactly what replacement theologians do to push Israel out of the prophetic equation. But we're having the same choice now relative to Babylon. You either can allegorize it or take it literally. And the same thing is about to happen. The literalist is about to be vindicated. And this article, you know, is just one demonstration of it.
Don't you love being on the winning side? Don't you love being on, don't you? Well, not always. Okay. But don't you love being on the side that's always going to be proven right?
Yeah. And it's not us, right? It's
exactly
God right.
That's right.
And God communicates in plain language. And it's not always easy because you're looked at as, I mean, you mentioned earlier with respect to preppers, you're looked at as kooks or extremists, and that kind of goes with the territory. You're looked at as kind of lesser intelligence because you don't understand the, you know, the nuanced meaning, whatever, some hidden meaning that the scholars have engineered. So it's not always easy, but it is very gratifying to say we stepped out in faith. We
to trust the Bible.
God said. Yeah, and look how history is vindicating us.
Yeah. Well, let's go to the article now. So China, Iraq began construction of new city near Baghdad. Iraq broke ground on December 29th on 30,000 housing units near Baghdad as part of a $2 billion project in partnership with the Chinese firms to build five new cities across Iraq. That's what Bloomberg reported on December 29th. The government prime minister is seeking to build 250,000 to 300,000 housing units for poor and middle-class families. The new city on the outskirts of Baghdad will include universities, commercial centers, schools, and health centers, and should be completed in 4 to 5 years. Contracts to build the housing units were awarded to East China Engineering Science and Technology Company Limited and China National Chemical Engineering Company Limited, along with their Iraqi partners and the names of the company, Shams al-Binal. Contracts to build four more cities are expected to be awarded soon, and another 10 will be announced next year, including, and it lists the cities, including, look at that, and Babel Governance. Babel. Isn't that interesting? Dr. Woods will comment on that when we come back, and we'll get through a few more articles before we call it a day and a week here on Worldview Radio. Don't forget, Crosstalk with Jim Schneider comes up at bcyamerica.org at 2 o'clock.
Experts say that Russian hackers found a way to hack our utilities, and the hackers may still be in there waiting to strike.
Go after their power, go after their water, and you can bring a nation to its knees.
They're identifying targets. They're positioning malware so they could pull the trigger when they wanted to.
Experts see the intrusion as a possible precursor to an unprecedented Russian cyber attack that could, in the event of war, devastate the U.S.
We know that China has been hacking everything they can and stealing our intellectual property. They want to take down America's economy. They want to take down our morale. They understand that if they can destroy our economy, they can destroy our future. We're at war.
All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us, Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. All right, Dr. Woods, comment on this article because they're going to also build some big housing projects in, it says, near Babylon. I think that's the words that were used were Babel governorats. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm saying that correctly.
Yeah. Well, first of all, what's really interesting is China is involved in this. They're financing it. And they're not just building cities in and around Baghdad. They're building a bunch of other cities as well. And one of them mentioned is Babel.
Mm-hmm.
That should ring a bell. That's, we have in the Bible, the Tower of Babel, built in the land of Shinar, Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9, which is Shinar is just the Hebrew word for the Greek term Mesopotamia, between the rivers, between the Euphrates and the Tigris. Bab in Hebrew means gate, and El means God. And the Tower of Babel was literally a gateway to God. It was trying to get to God through man's own path. And it took the form of a city. And of course, we know that God was displeased with that project. He confounded the language, preventing the builders from cooperating with each other. And so that project was put on hiatus for a long time. But it's always been Satan's goal to bring the world back under a city and a system located exactly where the Tower of Babel once stood. And here you see the Chinese financing of that city and some sort of, we believe, precursor of that city, which will exist in the tribulation period and will become dominant and will become the seat of the Antichrist empire. So a prophecy like that seems so far-fetched, maybe 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, but now it's just a regular part of the headlines.
Yeah, indeed it is. All right, here we go. Let's go toward the Mark of the Beast technology economy. I paid for everything using cash for 3 months. Here's the problems. And if I had saved money. Tell me about this.
Well, this is an article. It goes back to the end of last year, December the 1st, and it's dealing with what's going on in Australia. So Australians wake up one day and they read their newspaper, and this is an article that they'd be exposed to, that cash could be phased out of Australia as early as 2025, which is just next year, 2025. That's not that long. We don't have to wait that long for this one to happen. And we know that the global elites want to get rid of cash. We know why they want to get rid of it. They want to digitize all of our transactions so that they can put us into this sort of Chinese social credit system where you'll be locked out of the economy if you don't behave in a woke, you know, politically correct fashion. It's right out of the book of Revelation, chapter 13, verses 16 through 18. Cash is the enemy. Because as long as we're trafficking in cash and doing our transactions in cash, they can't develop an electronic paper trail on us concerning our values and our buying behavior, et cetera. So they have to digitize all of our transactions. Cash has to be eliminated. So here's this article in Australia. It's going to happen. The article anticipates by 2025. They use the expression in this article, cashless, over and over again. And then the author of the article talks about how it's already being phased out and how she tried to make it through, what does she say here, three months just using cash, and she just ran into roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. That's why she said credit cards, you know, are king in Australia. So it's just more evidence that we're moving into this cashless society. It's almost like they've are sort of beta testing it in Australia before they move it out here.
Absolutely. For the sake of time, let me speed it up just a little bit here. Also, again, I'm going to keep warning my audience. Hyperinflation, I think, is coming. I think hyperinflation is coming. You guys know I told you guys last year to stop using the I word, start getting used to the H word, hyperinflation. And I believe you're going to hear more and more mainstream, and it'll start in the conservative world and then move to the mainstream, talking hyperinflation. But remember, we were one of the first broadcasts telling you years in advance why we believe in precious metals and hard assets and things. What the Bible talks about is real wealth, houses, land, cattle, gold, silver, because they're going to steal your money. That's what inflation is. Remember John Maynard Keynes, by a continuous process of inflation, we can steal the majority of the people's wealth, and not one man in a million will know what we're doing. So keep your eye on that. Cash is difficult for them because they can reset everything by just resetting the digits. That's one reason to get rid of cash. They can reset everything at will. They can constantly be debasing the currency and resetting and creating and everything out of thin air. All right, what's this last one here? It has to do with T-Mobile. What's this about, Dr. Woods?
Well, T-Mobile is now assessing penalties for texting certain things. So this kicked in, this policy, in the new year. There's actually a tiered system depending on your infraction. But it basically is going to penalize people financially based on the emails they send and the texts they send. And a lot of these things seem reasonable. It has to do with criminal activity. But right smack dab in the middle of it is profanity. Now, none of us are in favor of profanity, but it also says profanity or hate speech. So you can be assessed a penalty by T-Mobile looking at your texts in order to ascertain whether they contain hate speech or not. Now, what exactly is hate speech? Well, that's a very, you know, vacuous category that the person that comes up with the category is free to come up with the definition. I mean, is hate speech political speech? Is it pro-Donald Trump speech? There's a lot of people with Trump derangement syndrome out there. Would a text promoting Donald Trump, would that be considered hate speech? How about texting biblical passages that Jesus is the only way to God, as he himself said in John 14, verse 6? What about if I send out a text, you know, criticizing Islam, showing the superiority of Christianity over Islam? Is that hate speech? Are my texts going to be regulated? So this is all setting the stage for the social credit system that's on the horizon.
Indeed it is. My guest, Dr. Andy Woods, his website, andywoodsministries.org. Ours, worldviewtube.com. We'll get this up online as a radio show at worldviewradio.com, as a TV show at worldviewtube.com later today. Dr. Woods, thank you for being with us. Happy New Year to you and your family. And remember, we also carry his nightly show at worldviewtube.com on demand. Speaking of shows, there's another one coming up right behind me on vcyamerica.org. Crosstalk with Jim Schneider, America's original Christian talk program. Take care.
This has been...
All right, that's our broadcast for this week for Worldview Radio. I want to remind you guys, we are brought to you by you. And I also want to remind you that one way that you can, well, come to us, be a part of what we're doing, help us with what we're doing, is by supporting our sponsors. And I want to talk to you about some of our sponsors real quick. I want to take you over to MyPillow.com. There are some sales going on over there at MyPillow.com still. Big sales going on, but if you use the promo code B66, you will continue to get free shipping. Not every promo code is allowed to use, is getting the free shipping, but we are, thanks to Mike's generosity. And you can use that promo code B66 at mypillow.com/B66 for sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, mattresses, mattress toppers, robes, and more. Mypillow.com/B66. No shipping. I don't know how much longer that's going to last, so you might want to take advantage of it. One way you could take advantage of that is by buying heavy items like a new mattress. And yes, they sell full mattresses over at MyPillow. So if you want to get yourself a mattress, just go to MyPillow.com and go up to the mattresses at the very top. Use the promo code B66. Get a mattress at your front door. No shipping. All right. Another way you can support us is by also getting your own emergency medical kit with the wellness company, Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe. I have one for my family members. Comes with 8 different prescription meds. Again, you are getting a prescription, so you need to fill out some information. Check your email Because sometimes people order and they don't check their email and they're like, where's my order? Well, you didn't finish filling out the paperwork for the doctor because this is a legitimate prescription. So check your email after your order so you get the paperwork filled out and can get your medical kits with those 8 prescription meds at your front door. And then if you go to twc.health/Brannon, you not only can order, but find out what are the 8 prescription meds and what do they treat. twc.health/Brannon. Another way you can support us, of course, is by simply going to wvwfoundation.com. Let me take you there real quick. wvwfoundation.com. And you make a contribution of any size. This program goes out for free. We could put it all behind a paywall and say you can only watch it, hear it, listen to it if you pay up front. We don't do that. We put it out for free. That doesn't mean we don't have a library that you'll be able to access. We've stopped promoting that for the last few years because we wanted to update it. But eventually we'll bring our library back. You can access stuff for going back, you know, years and years. But we almost always push out everything we do for free. A few things we don't push out for free, like our national conference. But even this year, I pushed out a bunch of it for free for you guys to watch after the fact. So I would say about 99.9% of everything we do, we just put it out there. But we have to pay for it somehow. And our foundation helps us push it out as a ministry. So thank you for your support at wvwfoundation.com, wvwfoundation.com. Another way you can support us is, of course, by checking out the Elixir Bella Grace. I take this twice a day. This comes with 3 powerful ingredients. Collagen, which is good for our tissues, our flexibility. Men, you need collagen. Collagen gets talked about with beauty and face and skin for women, but no, men need collagen as well. And then there's also something in here called astraxanthin. Astraxanthin won the 2022 award for cognitive. It crosses the brain-blood barrier, gets into your system, gets at the DNA, the cell level, and that's very powerful. But it also has cat's claw, which decreases the inflammation. Now, I'm stunned at the number of testimonials we're receiving. Right before I went on the air today, my wife called my cell phone and said, we just received a voicemail from someone that ordered this from us at melissahouse.bellagraceglobal.com. It's been taking it a few weeks and says that they woke up today now and the ringing in their ears has stopped. Now, look, I'm not making claims. I'm just telling you what you guys are telling us. People are telling us this is helping them. I've been telling you about the ways it's helped me by my skin on my hands, not cracked, not bleeding like I've had for years, particularly during the winter. We have people talking about hair growth. My wife's, beautician, hairstylist, asking her a few weeks ago when she went back, what are you doing? You got all this new hair growth on top of your head. This is her hairdresser of over 13 years. Other people are saying these things. So we're talking to you guys who are sending us letters and voicemails and emails about your joint pain greatly decreasing or ending. Again, I'm not making claims. I'm just telling you what you guys are telling us. So check out the 80 clinical trials. Get your subscription and start taking it like we are at melissahouse.bellagraceglobal.com. Take care.